church one Sunday.
Well, today we're talking about names. And I'm sure there's something behind gladiola. I don't know what it means. Names are usually used to describe something. It's a term or a designation. So we have gladiola, we have lily, we have all kinds of names. It's useful to have names. At times it doesn't seem like there's any relation between a name and what the object does. For example, chair, table. What does that have to do with the function of it? I don't know. There's probably something way back that would do it. Sometimes you have business names. If you didn't know any better, what would Amazon do? Sony, Google. If you think about it, the name of the business has nothing to do with what they actually do. Other times, names can be very descriptive. Some of you here live in Forest City. You think, okay, I understand how that name came about. You have Clear Lake. So sometimes names can be very descriptive. How many of you know what your name means? Anybody want to share if you know what your name means? All right, Nancy?
Full of grace.
So Nancy is full of grace. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Jerry.
It means superior.
Superior. That's okay. You didn't name yourself, so that's fine. Sure. Linda.
Linda Ray means beautiful sunshine.
Beautiful sunshine. We're going to go Aiden.
Little
What's that?
Little fire.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah.
A path.
A path. Yeah. Elena's a path. Yeah, Walter.
Commander of the army.
And I will do one more. All right, Violet.
Jesus.
It's always the answer. So, my name means, similar to Nancy, it's God is gracious. We belong to Bethel. How many of you know what Bethel means? House of God. It's Bethel Church, which means house of God, house of the Lord. So church, if you look at the etymology of it, it's kind of crazy, but essentially it means house of the Lord. So we are house of God, house of the Lord. In the ancient world, names were very important. Names were meant to be a description of who a person was. As we already heard today in Sunday school, the kids, they've been memorizing Bible verses. And the focus has been on the names of God. And each of these names of God is a description of who God is, of his characteristics. Some of the names that they learned were God of Truth, I Am, The Lord Will Provide, Great Physician, Teacher, Cornerstone, The Lord Who Heals, and Good Shepherd. Right in the beginning of the Bible, we can see that after God created the world, he gave Adam the privilege, the responsibility of naming all of the animals. After people encountered God, they were often given a new name. When Moses met God in the burning bush, he asked, "Who are you? What's your name? If I'm going to go and tell the people this message, I need to let them know who sent me, who gave me this message." So we can see the importance of names. Maybe if you've had a child, you can remember the agonizing process of coming up with a name for your child. Now, Josiah, you've got some names picked out. We won't ask you what it is, but did you and Carrie just come up like that with the name? No. You probably went through and struggled some. I can remember, Kirsty coming up with a lot of different names. It's like, no. One of my family members in my mother's generation, you know, they went home from the hospital with a birth certificate just saying, you know, baby Erickson. Because they couldn't come up with a name in those couple of days while they're in the hospital. You know, it even goes into things like medical drugs. You know, do you know that the FDA has two departments that have to approve the names of new drugs? You know, so they see the importance of a name there as well. You know, there's power in a name. When my family and I lived in Taiwan, every year we had to go visit the immigration office. You know, we had to update paperwork, renew the visa that gave us the privilege of living in Taiwan for another year. You know, every year the requirements of the paper were similar, but just a little bit different, but it usually went smoothly. About 1 year, I was at the immigration office, and the officer behind the counter seemed determined that he needed a different document from the church proving my employment there. You know, I didn't have it on me. You know, he was telling me, you're going to need to go to the church to get this document, and you'll have to come back tomorrow. You know, somehow it came up that I was working at Victory Church. You know, he looked it up and he thought, is that where Cho Fu Sheng works? Cho Fu Sheng is the Chinese name of Mike Kittleson. So once we determined, yes, that's where Mike Kittleson works, all of a sudden his attitude changed. He became more helpful, and all of a sudden, I didn't need that document any longer. You know, there was some kind of connection there where he knew Mike from something, and the papers were approved, and we could stay in Taiwan another year. You know, there's power in a name. And today, we're going to be looking at the name that we sang about. You know, Jesus, name above all names. You know, the most powerful name in the world. And we're going to take a look at an account in Acts that takes place after the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. It's going to be just a little bit different today. Rather than read just a few verses, I'm going to give an overview, a paraphrase of Acts 3 and 4. So one day, Peter and John were going to the temple. You know, they did this every day. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when it was time for the afternoon prayer. And as they were entering into the temple, there was a man at the gate who had been crippled from birth. You know, this man was about 40 years old, and everybody knew that he was crippled. And he was being carried by some friends who brought him to the temple every day. They put him outside of one of the gates of the temple. It was the gate called the Beautiful Gate. This was the gate that Jesus entered into the temple after he came into Jerusalem triumphantly. You know, there the crippled man, he sat by the gate every day and he would beg the temple goers for money. You know, that day he saw Peter and John going into the temple and he asked them for money. Peter and John looked right at the crippled man and they said, "Look at us." The man expected that they were going to give him some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any gold or silver, but I do have something that I can give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And then Peter took the man's right hand and he lifted him up. Immediately the man stood, his ankles and his feet, his legs strengthened. And he began to walk for the first time in his life. He went into the temple area with him, and he was walking and jumping and praising God. All the people recognized him. They knew him as the man who begged at the temple gate, who was crippled for 40 years. And now they saw this same man who was walking and jumping and was praising God. And they were amazed. And they didn't understand how it could happen, how this was possible. You know, the man was holding on to Peter and John. All the people were amazed. They ran over to Peter and John to get a closer look, to see what was happening. This was happening at Solomon's porch, the place where Jesus would often teach in the temple. When Peter saw the people coming over to him, he said to them, "You know, my Jewish brothers, why are you surprised at this? You know, you are looking at us as if it was by our power that we made this man. Do you think this is done because we are godly? Because we are good people? No. God did it. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He is the God of all of our fathers. He gave glory to Jesus, his special servant, but you handed him over to be killed. Pilate decided to let him go free. But you told Pilate you didn't want him. And you told Pilate to give you a murderer, Barabbas, instead of Jesus. And so you killed the one who gives life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses to this. We saw it with our own eyes. You know, this crippled man was healed because we believe in Jesus. It is Jesus' name that made him well. You can see this man and you know him. He was made completely well because of faith in Jesus. You saw it with your own eyes. My brothers, I know that what you did to Jesus was because of your own ignorance. You didn't know what you were doing, and your leaders didn't understand any more than you did. But God said that these things would happen. Through all the prophets, he prophesied what was going to take place. He said that his Messiah was going to suffer and die. You know, I've told you how God said this was going to happen. And so you must change your hearts and your lives. You must repent and turn to God, and he will forgive your sins. And the Lord will give you a time of spiritual rest. He will give you peace. He will send you Jesus, the one he sent to be his Messiah. But Jesus must stay in heaven until all things are restored. God told about this time when he spoke long ago through his holy prophet Moses. Moses said, "The Lord your God will give you a prophet. The prophet will come from among your own people. He will be like me. You must obey everything he tells you. And anyone who refuses to obey, that prophet will die, separated from God's people." Samuel and all the other prophets who spoke for God after Samuel said that this time would come. And what those prophets talked about is for you, their descendants. You have received the agreement that God made with your forefathers. God told Abraham, "Every nation on earth will be blessed through your descendants." And God has sent his special servant, Jesus. He has sent him to you first. He sent him to bless you by causing you to turn away from your evil ways. And while Peter and John were talking to the people, some Jewish leaders came up to them. They were priests, there were captains of the soldiers that guarded the temple, and some Sadducees. And they were very upset because of what Peter and John were teaching the people. By telling the people about Jesus, the apostles were teaching the people that people would rise from the dead. And the Jewish leaders, the Sadducees, didn't believe this. The Jewish leaders had the captain of the soldiers arrest Peter and John and put them in jail. And because it was already late in the afternoon, they put them in jail for the rest of the evening and the night. And they kept them in jail until the next day. But many of the people who heard the apostles believed. And the number of people that believed grew to about 5,000 men that day. The next day, the Jewish leaders, the older Jewish leaders, the elders and the teachers of the law, they met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander were there. Everyone from the high priest family was there. And they made Peter and John stand before all the people. And they asked them over and over again, "How did you make this crippled man walk? By what name did you use? By whose authority did you heal him?" Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, "Rulers and people and elders, are you questioning us today about what we did to heal this crippled man? Are you asking us what made him well? We want all of you and all the people of Israel to know that this man was made well by the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You nailed Jesus to the cross, but God raised him from the dead. This man was crippled, but now he is well. He is able to stand here before you because of the power of Jesus. Jesus is the stone that you builders thought was worthless, the stone that has now become the capstone, the cornerstone. You know, Jesus is the only one who can save the people. There is no name under heaven by which people can be saved. It is only in the name of Jesus that we must be saved through him. Now the teachers of the law, the rulers, they realized that Peter and John had no special education. They had no formal training or instruction. But they also saw that they weren't afraid to speak. And the leaders were amazed at this. They also realized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. They saw the crippled man who was standing there with them. They saw that he was healed. And they realized that there's nothing that they could say against the apostles. They couldn't bring any charges against them. And so the Jewish leaders told Peter and John to go out of the room because they needed to talk privately. And so the Jewish leaders, they were talking to each other about what they should do. And they said, "What should we do with these men? Everyone in Jerusalem knows about this miracle. All these people saw it happen with their own eyes, and they know it was a sign from God. It's too obvious. We can't cover it up. We can't keep it a secret. But we need to make Peter and John afraid to talk to anybody again using that name. And then this problem won't spread among the people." And so the Jewish leaders, they called Peter and John in again. They told the apostles not to say anything or to teach again in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "What do you think is right? What would God want? Should we obey you or should we obey God? We can't be quiet. We must tell the people about what we have seen and what we have heard." The Jewish leaders couldn't find a way to punish the apostles because the people were praising God for what had happened. You know, this miracle was a sign from God. Now, the man was 40 years old and had been crippled from birth. Everyone knew it. And so the Jewish leaders warned the apostles again, and then they let them go free. Oh, I look at this passage. There's some themes that run through it. You know, talking about the name of Jesus. It's through the name of Jesus that this crippled man was healed. Everyone saw it. All the people in the temple saw it. You know, and Peter and John, you know, we can see that they're no longer afraid. You know, all these people gathered around them, and Peter basically tells them, "You killed Jesus. You nailed him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead. He's alive." You know, Peter wasn't afraid any longer. And he pointed to Jesus. He told them, "Turn away from your sins." You know, the religious leaders, they heard about this happening. And right in the middle of Peter's sermon, of his talk, you know, Peter and John were arrested. You know, brought before the council the next day. It's kind of funny. The council, they didn't know what to do. You know, I see some humor in there. You know, you need to go out of the room so we can talk quietly. It's like, what do we do? It's like, I know, we'll get them to shut up. If they don't tell the story, it won't go any further. Well, hundreds of people saw it. You know, it didn't just depend on Peter and John. And so they said, don't teach in Jesus' name. You know, Peter says, well, you know, we're going to obey God rather than you. And then the Jewish leader said, don't teach in his name. Okay, you can go now. You know, there's power in a name. Last week we looked at sharing the gospel, seeing ultimately that we're supposed to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone. And that's because there's power in the name of Jesus. It's not that Jesus is a magic word, that you just say the word Jesus and magic things happen. But who's behind the name? You know, the name of Jesus is the giver of life. You know, the reason of that, you know, it's Jesus, God himself. You know, he is the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the First and the Last, the Author of Eternal Salvation, the Creator, the Bread of Life, the Chief Shepherd, the Door, the Horn of Salvation, the I Am, the Light of the World, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. That's who Jesus is. That's the power that healed a crippled man. The name Jesus itself means Savior. You know, the angel appeared to Mary, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. It's a wonderful name. And we are promised anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be healed. The crippled man was healed from a physical ailment, but Jesus saves us from our sins. Without Jesus, says we will be separated from God. Through trust and belief in Jesus, we stand before God. We are welcomed into his family. And we are given life. And so there is something about the name Jesus. It is a wonderful name. One that I hope you know. So we're going to close by singing, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." It's number 581.